Today's daf is Bamatia daf Mem Dalid. We're finishing up Hamafki today, starting Hazahav. We are up to daf Mem Gimel and Beis. We're at the Mishnah at the bottom of the page. Says the Mishnah, we're still talking about Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon. So the Mishnah says, HaChoshev L'Shalach Yad B'Pikadon. What if someone was not actually Shalach Yad B'Pikadon yet? They didn't do anything, they didn't take it, they didn't misappropriate it, but they thought about it. They thought about doing it and they planned on doing it. So Beishamai says, if anything were to happen to that pikadon, at this point, you're already going to be chayiv. Machshava alone is enough to be machayiv a person on shlichus yad. And Beisul says, no, you're only going to be chayiv if you're actually shaleach yad. Shenemar, im lo shilach yado b'mlechas re'eu. Pasuk says that im lo shilach yado b'mlechas re'eu, that you're going to be pati, you're only going to be chayiv if you're actually shaleach. Right, the pasuk says, "Lo yimatzei agadav v'nikra b'al bayis elokim el ha'elohim im lo shilach yadav v'nachshayah." That's the whole pasuk. So says the Rashi. What does it mean, choshev l'shloach yad? So Rashi adds in a little more. It's not just choshev, Rashi says, but rather amar b'fnei edim. A person says in front of edim, etol pikdono shel ploni la'atmi, that I'm going to take ploni's pikadon for myself. So Rashi really adds two things. Number one, that you're Omer, and number two, that the Amira has to be in front of Edom. Tosos agrees with one of them. If you look at Tosos, HaChoshev L'Shloach Yad, Hach Machshava Havi Dibur. So Tosos says the Machshava that we're speaking of is speech, it's not thought. K'diyalof me'al kol davar, because after all, the Gemara is going to have a drasha, al kol dvar pesha. We're going to darshan the words, al kol dvar pesha, in the pasuk, that al kol dvar pesha must relate to dibur, to actually speaking, and not to thought alone. So you see that davar, that since the source of this idea, of this halacha, is the word davar, so it must be that it requires speech. Thought alone is certainly not going to do it. V'chein machshav z'pigul. And Tosfos says, and it's not so unusual. We find that while machsheves pigul is a problem, machsheves pigul doesn't really mean just machshava. A lot of times when we refer to machshava, we don't only mean machshava, we mean speech as well. Machsheves pigul is also bedibor v'lo b'lev, and he shows that it's muchach that way in a variety of gemaras throughout Shas. So you find that sometimes the word, although the Mishnah uses the word choshev, the Mishnah uses the idea of machshava, it doesn't really mean machshava, it means dibur as well. Now the Ritva writes that there are those that hold that, like Rashi, that you need to do the dibur in front of Edom, but in front of two witnesses. But the Ritva himself is cholik, and he says, no, even if the dibur is beino levein atzmo, and Edom happened to have heard it from a window or whatever, obviously you need some proof that someone knows that you were medaber this. So Edom heard it from a window, or you were mode that you said it, bein ol levein atzmo, so that's shlichus yad according to Beis Shammai. That would be considered shlichus yad according to Beis Shammai. So you do have this discussion, this machlokas rishonim, does it need to be in front of Edim or not? Now the Rashash also makes this ha'ara, the Rashash on the Mishnah, where is it? Yeah, the Rashash over here says, where is it? Thought I had it. Okay. Anyway, I thought the Rashash had said something. Also, I thought made this point that it's machlokas rishonim regarding dibor versus machshava. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, so the says the Mishnah Vayter, hitas achavis v'natale mena revius. If a guy leans over a barrel and he takes a revius of wine out of the barrel, meaning the barrel is a pikadon, he's supposed to be watching, and he leaned it, tipped it over in order to remove a revius from it, v'nishbra, then it subsequently breaks, meaning it doesn't break right away, it's nishbra, says Rashi l'achazman, meaning if it broke while he was doing it, then it's obviously shlichus yad. Point is, he leaned, tipped it over in order to get some wine out of it, and then leaned it right back into its original position, and then sometime later it broke. So it didn't break any, the breakage had nothing to do with what he had done with his moving the barrel. So Einu Mishale Mele Revius. So he's only going to have to pay for Revius because he wasn't Shaleich Yad in the rest of the barrel. Says Rashi, the Shlichus Yad Einu Mischaiv Ba'onsin. So, Shlichus Yad is not going to be a chayiv onsin until he's Moshech or he's Magbiah. He has to do some sort of kinyan. Over here, he didn't do any sort of kinyan, he just leaned it over. Higbiya v'natalim en revias v'nishbra mishalim d'me kula. If he picks it up and he takes a revias, he lifts it and takes a revias, and then it breaks at some later time, then he's going to have to pay for the whole thing, because then he certainly was shalech yad, he was koneh the entire value, he did a real kinyan by doing a hagbah, by lifting it up off the ground. Now, there is a discussion in the Achronim, I saw in the Biurei Adaf, over here he quotes from Rav Kahanim in the Panovich Rav, who asked, according to those who hold that Beis Shammai is going to be mechayev literally on machshava b'lvad, that even without dibur, I mean, you saw Rashi and those said that it's not machshava alone, that you need actual dibur, but according to those who hold that it's machshava b'lvad, how could a shomer that's towing tainas ganav ever be chayev kefel? After all, the second he thinks about being kofer pipikadon, he's shaleich yad. Second, he thinks about denying the fact that he's got the pikadon still, so mele he's shaleich yad. And once he's shaleich yad bipikadon, and then he's towing tainas ganav, he's not going to be chayev kefel. If you're shaleich yad first, the towing tainas ganav is not going to be chayev you kefel, because once you're shaleich yad, you're chayev to pay for shlichus yad. So you're never going to be able to be chayev kefel, because you're never going to be able to say towing tainas ganav unless you first have the thought, have the machshava of being kofer bipikadon. So that's a part of which Rav's Chariv's Dikakasha. Right? How can you say that a towing tainas ganav is ever going to have to pay kefel? Mele he's never going to be a towing tainas ganav before he's shaleich yad, if shlichus yad is defined by machshava alone. Okay, something to think about. Let's see the Gemara. Says Gemara minani mili. So how do I know where do Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel get their respective opinions about machshava regarding shlichus yad? Again, Beis Shammai said that machshava is enough to be chayav for shlichus yad. Beis Hillel said not. So the Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa al kol dvar pesha. We darsh in the pasuk al kol dvar pesha. Beis Shammai omrim melamit shechayav al machshava kabaisa. So Beis Shammai says, you see from that pasuk al kol dvar pesha that you chayav on machshava the same way you chayav on maisa. So because the word dibor alone is included in the pasuk, so we see that you chayav on machshava the same way you are maisa. So I understand Bishlam of those shitos that say that, like we saw Rashi and Tosos, that requires dibor, right? Tosos said this Gemara is a raya to him, that machshava doesn't mean machshava, it means dibor. So according to them, I understand very well. Yechayev and machshava kamaisa doesn't really mean machshava, we dash from our called dvar pesha. How are the other shitos going to deal with that? How does al kol dvar pesha possibly mean machshava? Where do you ever find al kol dvar pesha, the word dibor means machshava? So the truth is, I was just thinking about it this morning, we discussed over Shavuos that there's two psukim that tell us that a person is not allowed to have hirhurei avera when it comes to arayos. Right? There's the pasuk the Gemara Brachos Darshins, that means you shouldn't see things that will make you think about hirhurei avera, about arayos. And the Gemara Ksubis, Daf Memvav, Darshins, v'nishmarta mikol davara. And the Gemara says, when Shmarta Mikol Davara means that you shouldn't be choshev machshavos biyom, that are going to bring you lidei tumah belayla, that are going to bring a person to become a valkyrie at night, that if a person sees things and their mind wanders onto issues of arayos, these types of thoughts that are going to bring tumah at night, so that's an iser. Rabbi Shmarta Mikol Davara. So the Achronim have a discussion, where do you see when Shmarta Mikol Davara that it relates to arayos? Kol Davara could be anything. Anything that's not vera is a davara. So where do you see anything that has to do with a raya? So the Mesh Chachma says, no, it's from the word ra. The word ra gives away that it relates to illicit thoughts. How do I know the word? Why does the word ra mean that? Because we find that by Yehuda and Yehuda's children with Tamar, that what they did was ra be'enei Hashem. The Torah describes what they did as being ra be'enei Hashem. So you see that the word ra specifically refers to these types of issues, of tuma issues, of balkeri, unnecessarily becoming a balkeri, otzazel levatala, that's ra be'enei Hashem, and therefore if a person does something that's going to cause him to be motzizel levatala, that's what Nishmartim called of a ra. What type of thing are going to cause you to be most zero vatala? So those types of thoughts. That's Mesh Chachma. But says Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Hashas and Ksubas, he says, no, the drush is not from the word ra. The drush is from the word kol davar. How do you see from the word kol davar? He said, dibor in general means speech. Kol is a more expansive term. Comes to include something that's beyond speech. So, Mishmartami, kol davar ra means you should be careful about an iser that's something even less than speech. Meaning, normally, if to violate an iser, you have to do a maisa. Short of a maisa, it's not an iser. So sometimes there's an iser in speech alone, And sometimes there's an iser with something that's even less than speech. It's even less concrete than speech. So what's the iser in the Torah? There aren't many. What's the iser in the Torah that even less than speech, besides for emunah issues, right? What's that, what's the iser in the Torah that's even less than speech that you could be liable for? So says Rav Yosef Engel, the Gemara had only one option, and that was the option of hirhurei avera. So therefore, v'nishmarta mikol davara came to include more something that's even less than dibor. Now you can understand very well the drush over here also. I'll call Dvar Pesha. That Dvar Pesha may mean Dibur. And that certainly Atosus understood it. But if you're going to assume like those Shitos that hold, that it doesn't even require Dibur, that it's literally Machshava alone, so Kol Dvar Pesha, the Kol being expansive, would mean something that's even less than Dibur. That's something that a person is already going to be considered Shaleich Yad. So just Machshava I had. I don't know if Rav Yosef Engel brings this example, but L'chor, it's a Kvaldika Rayev to Rav Yosef Engel's idea. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Beisil Omrim, Einu Chayiv Ad Sheyishloch Boyad. Beisil says, no, you're not going to be Chayiv on Machshava alone. You need to actually be Shaleich Yad. How do I know? Shenemar Im Lo Shalach Yado B'Melech Tzre'ehu. Pasuk says, Im Lo Shalach Yado B'Melech Tzre'ehu. Sounds like it's only if it's real Shlichus Yad. Amalem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, so the Beis Shammai said to the Beis Hillel, V'alo Kvar Nemar Al Kol Dvar Pesha, what are you going to do with my pasuk? Doesn't my pasuk imply that less than a maisa is enough to make you to be mechayiv you for shlichus yad, even just dibur alone or machshava alone is enough to be mechayiv you for shlichus yad? Amalem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel responds to the Beis Shammai, it's very nice you have a pasuk, but I have a pasuk too. So just like you want me to answer for your pasuk, you need to answer for my pasuk. Pasuk says, how are you going to understand that? So what's Beis Hillel going to do with the pasuk of Al-Kol Dvar Pesha? I would think that it's only if he himself goes into Shaleich Yad. Amla Avdol Lishlucha Minay, and how do I know that even if I send my Eved or my Shliach to be Shaleich Yad B'Pikadon, that I'm still going to be Chayiv? Tamal Omer Al Kol Dvar Pesha. That's why the Pasuk says Al Kol Dvar Pesha. When the Gemara in Kiddushin derives the concept of Shlichus and discusses the Sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, so we pointed out yesterday that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, while it's a general rule, there are certain exceptions to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. For instance, we discussed yesterday Mi'ila is an exception to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. If you send a Shliach to be Mol B'Kachim, so the Mishaleach is going to be Chayiv. Yeh Shliach L'Dvar Avera on Mi'ila. Another exception is Shlichus Yad, that when you send your Eved or anybody else or your Shliach to go and be Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon, so that's going to be considered that you did it yourself, and you're going to be chayav for that shlichus yad. Why do we have to say avda ushlucha? What's the difference? Isn't the eved the same thing as shliach? So no, they're a little bit different, because shliach is someone who works through you, but yad avdo ki yad rabba, when it comes to the eved actually is you. So it's a little bit stronger. Rav Yosef Engel, I think, in the first piece in Lekach Tov, has a chakira, when you make someone your shliach, does he literally become you? Or is it just that his maisa counts for you? And he brings rayas, many rayas, in both directions, but for the most part, most of the rayas point to the direction that his maisa counts for you, but not that he becomes you. And his perhaps his biggest raya is from the whole discussion of the Tosfos Rin and the Ketzos in terms of why we don't say that I can make a shliach to put on tefillin for me. Why can't I make a shliach to eat matzah for me? Right? So the Ketzos, we'll leave the Tosrid out for now. Tosrid is mechalik between mitzvah shabaguf versus mitzvah aren't shabaguf, but the Ketzos disagrees with the Tosrid, and again, we'll leave out why for now, because it's all separate shir. But the Ketzos himself says that, no, because when I make a shliach to eat matzah, right, so it is considered that I'm eating meaning it is considered that I'm putting the matzah in the mouth, but it's considered that I'm putting the matzah in his mouth, right? The shliach is putting the matzah in his mouth, the maisa putting the matzah in the mouth. So in Achadami, it's considered that I'm doing it if I made him a shliach to do it, but it's considered that I'm putting the matzah in his mouth. When I make a shliach to put on tefillin, in Achadami, it's like I'm putting on the tefillin, but not on me. It's like I'm putting on the tefillin on him. So you see from the Ketzos, says Rav Yosef Engel, you see clearly that the din of shlichus is not that he becomes me. If he became me when he put the tefillin on, so he'd become me and I'd be also in the midst of tefillin. No, you see that it's the maisa that he does is considered by maisa, but it's still the maisa that he's doing, right? The maisa that he's doing on his guf by putting on the tefillin is my maisa. So I'm putting on the tefillin on him. So you see that the din of shlichus is not that he becomes me; it's that his action counts for me. So by the eved, where it's even stronger, maybe one would have thought that it would be different. That yaravdo, so yaravdo ki yad rabo. So that's why he says no. Not only over here when we're going to say yeshliach l'dvar avera, we're going to say not only yavdo, where his yad is literally your yad, but even where it's just a shliach, where he isn't you at all. The shliach is not you. It's just that his maisa is going to count for you. Even there too, we're going to say yeshliach l'dvar avera in the sense within the parsha of shlichus yad bepikadon. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins shliach yad bepikadon al yado o al yidei shlucho. If you're shliach yad bepikadon either yourself or through a shliach, hariz a gazlan v'nischayv ba'onsim. So the second you're shliach yad, you consider it a gazlan and you chayv in all onsim that happened to the object that you misappropriated. V'nasis hagzeil b'rishuso. Shulchan Aruch said you're going to pay just like any other gazlan would pay, and again, it doesn't make a difference whether you did it or whether you sent your eved or your shliach to do it. Says the Sma on the Shulchan Aruch that we're dafka talking about a case where the shliach doesn't know that it's a pikadon, or the shliach himself is not a bar chiyuva, or the shliach himself has nothing to pay. What's the Sma doing? What the Sma is trying to do is to say that really it can't be that the Meshaleach is going to be Chayiv. It can't be that if the Shliach is eligible, at all eligible to be Chayiv, that the Meshaleach is still going to be Chayiv. It just can't be. And the Sma explains, because after all, if the Shliach himself is a Bar Chayuva, and he knows it's a Pikadon, and he has money to pay, the Meshaleach can't be Chayiv, because ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera. How could the Meshaleach be Chayiv if the Shliach is, if there's potential for the Shliach to pay? After all, ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera. So all of the Achronim jump all over this Sma. Ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera? It's enough in the Gemara that ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera does not apply to Shlichus Yad. Right? The Gemara makes, this is one of the exceptions to ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera. So for the Sma to fetch out that this halacha that our Gemara says explicitly only applies where the shliach can't pay for some reason, where he either doesn't have the money, or he's not a bar chiyuva, or he doesn't realize that it's a pikadon, that's very, very difficult. So the Achronim and the Shach and all the others jump all over the Sma. What in the world is he talking about? So the Ktsos is Miyashiv the Sma. This is all in some Reish Sadi Beis. The Ktsos is Miyashiv the Sma based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, B'kala tarakula in shliach l'dvar avera ela b'me'ila levada. The Rambam writes that in Kol Torah Kula you don't find Shliach L'Dvar Avera except for Mi'ila. Mi'ila is the only exception. And everyone obviously asks on the Rambam. Mi'ila is not the only exception. Tvicha Mechira, Shlichus Yad, there are two other exceptions, right? Shlichus Yad is also an exception to the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So the Ma'arid answers that no, that which the Torah is Mechayev Shlichus Yad, Al Yidei Shlichus, is not Midin Shlichus. It's not because Yei Shliach L'Dvar Avera. It's because I'm a Shomer on a Pikadam, right? When I'm a Shomer on a Pikadam, I'm not allowed to be Posheya. If I am Posheya, then I'm responsible for it. When I go and tell someone to take it, or to destroy it, or to use it, ain't pshia gadol mizu? It's not that I'm stealing it. It's not shlichus yad. It's not he's my shliach to be shalach yad. That's ki'ilu, it's my maisa, that I'm the one that's stealing it or doing it or whatever. No, that's not the point. The point is that it's the greatest level of pshia for me to ask somebody else to go and take it. That's posheya, and that's why. Where do we learn the concept of shlichus yad b'mikadon from? Al kol dvar. Pesha! It's all called Dvar Pesha, it's from being Posheya. That even Dibur can be considered Pesha. That even if I just tell someone to do something, it could be considered Posheya. So that's according to that, even though we learn in Shlichus Yad that the Meshaleach is going to be Chayiv, it's only because of his Pshuso. It's only because he was Posheya. But that shouldn't be enough to pater the Shaliach. That shouldn't be enough to get the shliach off the hook. The shliach still needs something to get him off the hook. I mean, bishlama, when something works midin shlichus, so you're going to say, look, when it works midin shlichus, I'm going to be chayiv, the shliach is not going to be chayiv, because the shliach isn't himself. His maisa isn't his maisa, it's my maisa. So he's going to be pater. But if it's not working midin shlichus, if the whole reason I'm chayiv is not because of that I sent a shliach to do it, and therefore it's as if I did it. No, it's because I was posheya by telling him to do it. So that's good, that's wonderful. That explains why I'm posheya and I'm going to be chayiv. But that won't explain why he's not chayiv. So comes along the Sma, and the Sma says, oh, in order to make him not chayiv, he's going to need some excuse. He's not a bar chiyuva, he doesn't have money, he didn't know it was a pikadon, he needs something to get him off the hook in order for the shliach not to be chayiv. Okay, let's go weiter. He tells the chavis. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said that if you lean the chavis over, so that's not shlichus yad in the entire chavis, but if you pick up the chavis, you do a kinyan, that is shlichus yad in the entire chavis. Amar Rabbi, lo shanu el nishbura. We only discussed the case where it breaks. Avalich mitza, mishalim es kula. But if you lean over the chavis to take out a revius and then put the chavis back in its place, and some while later the chavis, the whole barrel of wine, spoils, you're going to pay for the entire thing. Then it's considered as if you were shaleich yad. So my time, why? Like it says the Gemara, gira di dei huda hanula. By your tipping over the chavis to take anything out of it, that caused the spoilage of the rest of the wine. And apparently, had the wine been altogether, maybe it wouldn't have spoiled so quickly. And we said if you lifted up the barrel of wine, and you took from it, so then you're going to be chayiv, then you're ready shaleich yad. So Amar Shmuel, lo natal natal mamish, al kimen shegbia li talaf aplish lo natal. Shmuel said, you didn't even have to take any wine from it. If you picked up the barrel al manas, thinking that you're going to take wine from it, then you change your mind and you put it back down, well, you were already shaleich bayad. And therefore, it was already shlichus yad, you're already going to be chayiv in any onsim that happened to it afterwards, even if you didn't take anything. So lema kasavish Shmuel shlichus yad in shlichus arun. So Shmuel obviously holds that shlichus yad is going to be chayiv even without chisaron, because you didn't take anything. Even though you didn't take anything out of the barrel, you're still going to be chayiv. So you see, Shmuel holds shlichus yad does not require chisaron. So Amri lo shayni hacha de nichle de tavi hachavas kula basas la harevius. No, over here when you pick up a barrel al manas to take a revius, and then you don't actually take it, it's not because you're not stealing that revius. You are stealing that revius. You're just storing it with the rest of the wine. Why are you storing it with the rest of the wine? Because like we just said before, when you remove some wine, the wine spoils more quickly. When it's all together as one unit, it spoils less quickly. It's going to remain higher quality wine. I guess the flavor, the aroma, whatever it is, it's going to be better wine when it remains together in one large barrel. So since it's going to be better wine, you did steal it. You took it, and now you're storing it together with the rest of the wine. That's all it is. So it's not that shlichus yad and shlichus chisaron. It does require chisaron, and you had chisaron. What would you say if it weren't wine? What if you pick up a wallet al manas to take a dollar out of it, and you never actually took the dollar out of it? Do we assume the same thing? That it's ki'ilu, you stole the dollar and are just storing the dollar together with all the other dollars in the wallet? And we say, no, that until you take a dollar, if shlichus yad, shlichus chisaron, if until you take the dollar, it's not going to be considered shlichus yad. So what's the halacha there? Chamra hu d'lo minter, agav chamra avzuza minter. Do we assume that no, wine needs to be with the rest of the wine in order for it to be protected, in order for it to remain good, but the money, the dollar is going to be the same whether it's in the wallet or outside of the wallet, and therefore from the fact that I did not take the dollar outside of the wallet means I was not shlichus yad. O dilma shainin tirusa darniki min tirusa d'dinar, or maybe no, the watching over of an arniki is different than the watching over of a dinar, meaning people will be much more protective, and it's much easier to watch over a whole bag of money than to watch over $1. $1 gets lost all the time. Right? As Rashi says, kis malei nira umishtamer. It's more easily visible and therefore easily protected. Veino chlios neva kadinar yechidi. Doesn't get lost as easily as a single dinar. So maybe we do taka assume that when you pick up the arniki al menas to steal a dinar, and then you don't take the dinar, that it's ki'ilu you did take the dinar, and that you have put it back and are just watching it together with all the other dinarim that are in the wallet. So take us, the Gemara leaves that as a take, we're not sure. Okay, Hadron Alacha Mafkin, new Perek HaZahav. So some difficult concepts in Mekach HaMemkar come up in Perek HaZahav, not the least of which is the very beginning. The Mishnah discusses what's going to be considered in any transaction that this Mishnah is going to discuss, is what's going to be considered the currency and what's going to be considered the item that's being purchased with the currency. Now, Ramay Nafkamina, who cares what's considered the currency? If I'm trading something for something, what's the difference if I trade $10 for for a t-shirt, or if I trade whatever my watch for a t-shirt, what difference does it make? Isn't it? Either way, it's trading something for something. So what difference does it make? What's considered the currency and what's considered the item that I'm buying for the currency? So the difference is that we paskin that ma'os enon konos, that the kinyan is not chal when I just hand over the currency. But when I do mashicha, when I hand over the item that I'm buying, when the guy hands over to me the item that I'm buying, that's kona. What difference does it make if the kinyan has been made? Can we be chozer on the kinyan, on the mekach? Can we, after I hand over the money, can I say, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to go through with this transaction? So if ma'os were to be kona, I wouldn't be able to back out. But if ma'os is in konos, and all I did was give the money, but the other item has not been given back to me, so then certainly the mekach is still up in the air, and we can still be chozer on it. It's a machlokas whether the ma'os is konos on a daraisa level, and it's just a takana derabanan, that we don't allow it to be kona because shemiyomu nisfach itecha ba'aliyah, because we're afraid that someone's going to pay me an exorbitant sum of money for my warehouse full of stuff, and my warehouse, then there's going to be a fire that rages in the warehouse, and I'm not going to do anything to stop it. I'm going to say, sorry, it was your wheat. Why should I protect it? It wasn't mine anymore. So midrabanan, they made a takana that Moses should not be konos, or it's actually dindar raisa that Moses ain't konos. But either way, the assumption is that whatever is going to be considered the currency is not going to be able to affect the kinyan. So the Mishnah over here is going to discuss a number of different barters that could happen, and which one is considered the ma'os in each case. So azav konas hakesef, hakesef eino konas azav. Gold is kona silver, silver is not kona gold. Right? Says Rashi, elkech dinari zav tvum b'dinari kesef. I'm buying gold with silver. V'nasnal dinari zav meshichas hazav kona es hakesef. What does it mean zahav is kona kesef? It means the kesef is considered the money. The zahav is considered the item that I'm buying, right? That's why the mashicha, the kinyan on the zahav, makes the entire kinyan work. As soon as I moshech the zav to myself, the kesef belongs to the other guy. That's what it means, zav konas the kesef, kesef enu konas the zav. Later on in that Rashi goes through the rule that we just mentioned, that mo'os enu konas ad sheyim shocha metaltalin. Mo'os alone is not kona, you need to do mashicha on the metaltalin. But av mashicha on the metaltalin, kona ve'erech me'em yochel achzer bo. Mashicha on the metaltalin would be enough, and neither of them could back out on the kinyan when you did mashicha on the metaltalin. So again, number one, gold is considered the metaltalin klape kesef. Kesef is considered money klape the gold. Number two, hanechoshes kones hakesef, hakesef vina kones hanechoshes. Not only is gold considered metaltalin klape the kesef, copper is also considered metaltalin klape the kesef. What you see right off the bat is that apparently this doesn't only have to do with which is more valuable. When you're trying to consider which is the money and which is the metaltalin, you're not only looking at what's more valuable, because apparently zav and echoshes are both considered the metaltalin klape the kesef. So for some reason the kesef is considered cash against both metals that are more valuable and less valuable than it. Number three, Mo'os Haro'os Kronos HaSayafos. Mo'os Haro'os, Rashi says, Shenifsalu, money that's no longer currency, no longer usable as currency, is considered the metaltalin, legabe maos yafos, legabe currency, vayafos en kones haraos, right? It's what you would assume. Asimon kones hamatbeya, also what you would assume. And asimon doesn't have a matbeya tavu on it, it's just a blank coin, is considered metaltalin, legabe a matbeya, a real coin, vamatbeya en kones asimon, but the other way, right? Meaning the matbeya is not kones the asimon, meaning the matbeya is considered the cash, and the asimon is considered the metaltalin that you're being kone. Metaltalin kones hamatbeya, and this is like the rule, metaltalin is kona matbeya, matbeya in a kona is a metaltalin. Right? Metaltalin is considered the item that you're buying, klape the matbeya, which is considered the cash. Fine. Call a metaltalin kona ze aze. All metaltalin are kona each other, though. Ketzad, mashich menu peros v'lanas alamo'o se'in yachal achzerbo. If I do mashich on the peros, but I did not yet give the cash, so that's it, I can't be chozer on it because I've already acquired it. But if I gave the money, cash had changed hands, but the peros had not changed hands, so then you could be chozer on it, because after all, ma'os is not kona. Aval amru, even though ma'os is not kona, but nevertheless, Chazal say, Misha paramanchi dara mabul midara flaga, who asked the part of Mimisha'ino Omid Bidiburo, that once you gave your word, and apparently word doesn't just mean word, you gave your money also, once someone gave their money to acquire something, so then you have a concept, even though technically Me'ikar Adin, you could still back out, but once you gave your word to sell something, and that word was confirmed with the handing over of money, so we have a concept called Mishapara, that there's a terrible curse on a person, that the same Ribon Shalom, who was Poreh from the Dora Mabel and Dora Flaga, for being bad people, is going to be Poreh from us if we're bad people, if we don't keep our word on these types of things. Very nogeh lemaisa sugi, we can get to it in the Gemara, about Misha Para. When do you say that you're held liable for not keeping your word, or at least that you're cursed for not keeping your word, and when do we not say that? Meaning it sounds from the Mishnah that it's dafka when money changed hands. What if money didn't change hands but you signed a contract? Right? What if you didn't sign a contract yet, you just agreed on a price? Happens with selling houses all the time. When people sell their house, it happened with me when I sold my house, my last house in Cedars. A lot of times someone comes in, they say a price, you say that sounds good, then they'll send an engineer or whatever, and the engineer will say, well, you know, they should really pay to fix that and that and that, and the guy starts handling, and you say, you know what, and then someone else comes and gives you a much higher offer. But I already told the first guy, so, you know, that I would take his offer, but they're still handling with it. So exactly when are you going to be chayiv? So we'll get to those sugyas in the Gemara. Fascinating sugyas. At least it was to me, because it was the ma'aseh for me. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol shekesef biyado, yado al elyona. That whoever has the money in his hand, he's the one with the upper hand. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that nasa lamos, you could still be chozer, even the lakeach can be chozer. Right? The Rabbi Shimon says, no. Whoever has the money in his hand is in the driver's seat. Lakeach can't be chozer once he already gave the money. He can't say, no, I changed my mind, I want my money back, and I don't want to do the mekach. The mocher could be chozer. He could say, look, take your money back, and that's it. I'm not dealing with this anymore. But the lakeach can't be chozer. Okay. Masni le Rebbe le Rabbi Shimon Berei. Hazav konas hakesef. So the way Rebbe taught it to Rabbi Shimon, his son, was that Zahav is Kona Kesef, meaning that the Zahav is considered Metatlin, Klape Kesef, which is considered cash. Amrlei, Rebbe, Shanisa Lanabi Aldusecha, but he said, Rebbe, you taught us when you were younger that a Kesef Kona is a Zahav. That was the other way around, that the Zahav is considered the cash Klape the Kesef. And now you're teaching us the opposite in your old age. So which is it? So Bialduse my sovr, Biziknuse my sovr. What did he hold when he was young? What did he hold when he was old? Why did he hold that when he was a younger man? Why did he assume that Zav is that the Kesef is called the Zahav? And why when he was older did he change his mind and say, like we say, that the Zahav is called the Kesef, that the Kesef is considered the cash, not the gold. So Bialduse Savar Dava the Chashiv Havetiva. So when he was younger, he thought that gold is clearly more chashiv than kesef, and therefore it's considered the money. Kaspa the lo chashiv havepira, and the kesef, which is not as chashiv, is considered the peros, is considered the item that you're buying. The kana the pira letiva, and that's always the way it works. That the peros are kona, the coin. Maos is not kona, metaltalin is kona. So since that which is less chashiv is considered the peros, that's what affects the kinyan. Biziknuse savar, but when he was older, he held that no, kaspa de charif havetiva. What do you use more as currency? You use silver as currency a lot more, right? The Charif Rashi says, Yotze Botzav over the Socher. All the time, when you go into a store, you don't pay in gold, you pay in silver coins. And therefore, that's considered the coin, Dava de lo Charif Havipira. Since people don't pay with gold, that's considered the peros, Klape the Kesef. The Karnele Pira Lativa, and again, the rule is only one rule. Peros are Kona coins. Coins are not Kona peros. It's that simple. Amar Rav Ashi, Kialduse Mistavra, that it seems to be more Mistavra what he held in his youth. Meaning what he held in his youth, that the gold is considered the currency because it's more chashuv. Why? Midiktani anechoshes kona es kesef. Because we learn anechoshes is kona the kesef, meaning the kesef is considered money, klape nechoshes, which is considered the peros. Yam bishlam kaspel gavi dava pira havi hanukat dekatani anechoshes kona es kesef. Look, if kesef legabe gold is going to be peros, and the gold is going to be considered the currency, so then it makes sense that when you compare kesef and nechoshes, and kesef is of greater value then nechoshes, that which is of greater value is going to be considered the currency. That which is of lesser value is going to be considered the peros. Then it will make sense. It will be consistent. The relationship to kesef and zav will be similar to the relationship between kesef and nechoshes, in the sense that that which is more valuable will always be considered the currency. At least it will be a consistent psak. Pirahavya, even though when compared to gold, kesef is considered peros, legabe nechoshes tevahava. When you compare kesef to copper, so then kesef is going to be the coin. It's going to be the currency. It's not going to be the peros. Eliyam kasper legabe dava tevahavi. But if you're going to say that kesef, in comparison to gold, is considered the coin, is considered the money, so wait a second. Hashal legabe dava dechashem minei amr tevahavi legabe nechoshes. Meaning, if in comparison to gold, kesef, which is less chashuv, is still considered the money, it's considered the currency, in comparison to copper, where kesef is more chashuv, plus it's also charif, it's also something that's commonly used. So it has both qualities over nechoshes. So is it possible that do you even need to say that kesef is going to be considered currency? Certainly it's going to be, kesef should be considered the currency, because it's both more chashuv and it's more used. So it says, well, no, it's tzrich. I do need to be told that kesef is considered the currency. Salka daita chamina, haini priti ba'asra desagi inu charifi tfe mikaspa ima tevahavi. I might have thought that since there are a lot of places where nechoshes is used as currency a lot, and therefore it's charif tfei, it's more used as currency than silver is, therefore I might have thought that the nechoshes should be the currency by which you purchase the silver, which is considered the peros. That it's not so, that since there are many places where nechoshes is not used as currency, and silver is the primary currency, so therefore even in those places where silver is not the primary currency, where nechoshes is the primary currency, the combination of factors of silver being more chashuv than nechoshes, plus the fact that there exist many locations where silver is more charif than nechoshes, is always going to make silver the currency klape the nechoshes. So it's a chiddush that silver is currency klape the nechoshes, even in those places where it's charifi. Vaf Rabbi Chiya savar dava tivahavi, and even Rabbi Chiya holds that gold can be considered a tiva. That gold can be considered a coin. That it could be considered currency. The Rav holds if dinari mi barti Rabbi Chiya, Rav borrowed money from barti Rabbi Chiya, from Rabbi Chiya's daughter, Lusofi Yakar Dinri. He borrowed gold coins, and then those gold coins went up in value. So he didn't know what to do. Why didn't he not know what to do? So it says Rashi, Asal Kamed Rabbi Chiya. He went to Rabbi Chiya because he was choshish mishum ribis. He didn't know if he gives it back, is it going to be a problem of ribis, because he borrowed gold coins when gold was worth X, and now gold is worth X plus Y, and he thought it might be ribis. So I'm like, Zil Shalom La Tavan La Takilin. Yeah, go give her the you could go pay her back the best coins, meaning it's fine. So if gold is the currency, it's the standard. Meaning there's another nafkamina whether something is currency or metalpilin. If it's currency, so we don't assume the currency goes up and down. Prices of everything else go up and down. Currency is currency. We made the same. A dollar is a dollar. I borrow a dollar from you today and there's inflation or whatever, deflation, and then I give you back a dollar in a month from now. It's a dollar. I still gave you back a dollar. That's not ribis. Right, so then I understand very well. Aliyam pirahavi havle sabasava aser. But if it's peros, so then we certainly take prices into account. If I borrow, a pound of flour from you today, and flour goes up in value, I return a pound of flour to you. That's a big problem of ribis. That's called sabasa. We're going to get to ribis issues later in the Masechta, but that's a big problem of ribis. So if you hold that gold is considered the metalton, it's not considered the currency, so then you have a real problem here. So it says, no, Rav Dinari Havale, Vikim the Havale Dinari, Nasa Kormula, Halveni Achiava Bane Acham Mafteach. Rav, when he borrowed the money, he happened to have had gold coins. So at the time that he borrowed the money, he just didn't have access to his own coins. So it's like he's saying, just give it to me till I find my keys, and then when I find my keys, I'll give you my coins. I just need this right now. So the point is, the second he borrowed it, there was already a transaction. he was taking that money in exchange for the money that he had locked up somewhere that he just didn't have access to. So right at that point, the Barte de Rabbi Chiya was already Kona the money that Rav had somewhere else. So he didn't have to worry about Ribbis issues.
The following Tana holds that gold is considered currency.
Why do we care that a pruta is echad mishmona misra italki? Because we need to know regarding kiddushin what's considered a shavu pruta. Now the Mishnah is going to say later on that there are five nafkaminas to know what's a shavu pruta. It's not just for kiddushin. There are other halachas that are also nogea to a shavu pruta, but we just picked the first one. Kiddushin isha is just one of the nafkaminas. Isra echad measrim arba bedinar shal kesef l'may nafkamina. Why do I need to know that an isra is 1/24 of a dinar shal kesef l'mekach memker? Just another minute. Dinar shal kesef echad measrim chamisha bedinar shal zav l'may nafkamina. Why do I need to know that a dinar shal kesef is 1/25 of a dinar shal zav? The pidyon aben, for the sake of pidyon aben. Yarm pishlam tiva havi mishar tana b'midid kitz. So if it's tiva, if it's considered a coin, so we're going to use it as a measurement to define the amount of money for pidyon aben. Eliyam piravi mishar tana b'midid okr v'zil. But if it's pira, if it's something that doesn't stay consistent, the tana is going to use something that fluctuates in value. Doesn't make sense. Zim d'mahad lekana v'zim d'mosav le'ihu lekana. Sometimes the coin is going to have to return. Sometimes you're going to give too much because it's going up and down in value. El shmamina tivahavi shmamina. So you see that gold very often is considered a currency.